This is the Ink Pray Love podcast. We talk all things health, wealth, and community connection. Let's go. Welcome to this episode of the Ink Pray Love podcast. Today I have a very special guest. This is one of my homies. We've been just talking before we started, 5 years of friendship, starting off in a weird, wonderful, wild way. But Andrew Seeley is an internationally renowned yoga artist, not just a yoga teacher. This guy is the dude. Yoga, mindfulness, meditation, everything. What I love about him is his positive attitude. In every room that he's ever walked into that I've been in, he's lighting it up. He is love, he is light, he is just such an epic human. And I know he's taking time out of his busy schedule being an international yoga rock star to hang out with us. And so that's a beautiful thing. I know you're all going to get a lot out of this episode. And we want to drop you into a meditative space so you're able to listen and integrate. So the whole thing is going to be about nurturing your mind, giving you the techniques, letting you have a quality of life that's a little bit better than before you listen to this. And Andrew is the dude that I know that's going to really help us get there. No pressure, Andrew. Thank you so much for jumping on. I love you, man.
Hey, pressure makes diamonds, so I'm happy to be here. All the pressure, bring it on, let's go.
Man, I'm so stoked that we finally got a chance to do this. Every time that I've seen you or bumped into you or anything like that, it's just a vibe. You have that about you, and I would take it to, you know, your practice, but have you always been this positive, or was it the practice?
I would say that it's definitely a practice, but at the same time, I feel that we all have an inherent karmic predicament in the sense that it's our blessing, and we have these tools that we're endowed with from the time that we're born. Each and every one of us, was born into a space of being fully in that space of ananda, pure bliss. And so it's just a matter of being able to realize this and to be able to cultivate that sense of bliss on a daily basis. And thus it is able to shine even more effortlessly.
I love that. And shine everywhere you go. You are currently in the jungles of Costa Rica where you live.
Yeah.
We got jungle vibes. So everybody that can hear that, that is not a studio. That's a jungle in the background. I love it.
That's literally the beach. The beach is right over there.
Yeah, beautiful.
Through the trees.
There was a crazy story of when we like got to get closer and we had met, and it was after the sword fight, black magic robbery, and my hands in a cast, and we're at the Astana, and I was in a pretty traumatized state. I was like, this shit is crazy. I was rough. It was before I went to the Vipassana, so those 9 days beforehand where it was hard for me, and you and I got to be connected. And you're like, well, let's go into the sound dome. There's the sound dome steam sauna, but the sauna wasn't on, but it's been tuned that we could go in there and chant. And I was like, this guy's cool. I'll just do what he says. And you took me in there and we started oming. And I'll never forget, something unlocked for me, and the tension, the trauma, just everything that I had going on, it shifted for me. And I just knew at that moment, like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Like, you're going to be all right. Yeah, this sucks, but you'll be fine. Break down for me, please, for everybody listening. Like, what is that like? Why the sound of om? Why connection in practice? What's that do?
Yeah, so essentially all life is built on the foundation of vibration. And if we're really looking to become more aware of how we can rid ourselves of trauma, of tension, of stress, it really comes down to vibration. And the primordial sound of all vibration, of all matter, is the sound of Om. If we, look back into the great Vedas, which are the oldest written texts that we know of, that were actually first passed down through oral tradition, then we actually find of the writing of the sound Om, which is also directly connected to the numbers 3, 6, and 9, which also have a resonance throughout time and space. And so essentially the sound Om, and also the symbol of it, it actually signifies all of the sounds that the mouth can make from the beginning of ah. You even think of like what is the first things that babies usually say, ah, ah, ah. You know,
also the seagulls. Beginning
sound. Yes, seagulls, many other animals as well. So we think ah, and then it literally comes from the back of the mouth, from the back of the throat, ah, and then you go into oh, which is like the fullness of the mouth, the full use of your mouth to be able to create that sound, and then it ends at your lips. Mm. And so if we just take the time to be able to resonate into that sound, it really brings a sense of resonance of dropping us into our vibrational body. And when we're in our vibrational body, that's when the true essence of healing begins to happen, because we're in harmony, right? Harmony and healing go hand in hand.
Oof. Man, that's so satisfying just watching you do that. I'm just like, I just dropped in a little bit just to see you do it, hear you do it. And I hope everybody listening, like, that's just a vibe. And harmony and healing. And that's exactly what we did. I was in a traumatized space. We chanted together. It dropped me into a space of, like you said, harmony. And I just knew, okay, everything's going to be all right. You'll figure this out. Yoga was something that saved my life too. You know, when I left the crazy lifestyle I was living and started practicing deeply, it unlocked so much in me. And, you know, before that, it was like, I think I got into yoga for the wrong reasons, because I was injured and I just thought it was trendy. And I was just like, cool, you know, this is just a place to like maybe meet girls or something. You know, it just was like not the right. It was like, yeah, this is cool, but I didn't know the power of it until I started practicing and started getting actually some traction in my practice and seeing the benefits. And I was like, oh, no, I'm in the front of the class now. This is where I want to be situated. This is the jam. And what would you say to people that are on their yogic practice? Like, or what have you seen the benefits of your practice? How has that changed your life?
Well, I mean, we can just start with like the simplicity of like dropping into the body. It's like the number one thing that we can do is to be fully present in our body, because ultimately our body is our vessel for the divine spark of intuition that brings us into this incarnation. And so ultimately, when we have the opportunity to truly tap into this human form, this physical body, that's when the rest of our physical reality begins to harmonize with that sense of solidity, that sense of foundation, that sense of knowing who we are and what we're here to do. And so I actually want to invite you and your listeners to just take 3 ohms with me, because I think that just taking the time to tune in, what a good friend of mine, Elijah Ray, he always says, to ohm home. It's like to come back into your home, which is your vessel, and to really tune into your vibrational frequency. So would you be willing to do this with me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's awesome. Do it. And everybody listening, do it. No matter where you are, just do it.
Just make it as long as you're not driving. As long as you're not driving.
You can't ohm while you drive?
I mean, you can ohm while you drive. Just make sure you keep your eyes open, okay?
Yeah. Do that. We are not liable for any accidents or anything that happens to you. Please be responsible when ohming.
Truth be told. So take a nice comfortable seat. And I like to rub my hands together just to create some heat. And then bring your left hand to your heart and your right hand to your belly. And gently close your eyes. Allow your stomach to relax. Take a deep inhale into the tops of your lungs. Just clear it out through your mouth first. Nice deep inhale in. Deep inhale in. Deep inhale in. Just take a few moments to sit with that feeling of vibration. So allow the breath to flow in and out effortlessly. No obligation, no anticipation, just the presence of here and now. You gently open your eyes to be reconnected to your breath. It's always the how. How's that feel? How you feel right now?
Juicy. That's so good. Yeah, it's such a vibe. I love that. It works. It works. And I love it every when time. You like facilitate something like that. It's so nice to be able to practice with someone. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people forget that it's the human connection that really brings us back to the sense of realizing that we're all in this together. So, you know, when you have the opportunity of practicing with another human being, like, you're connected to the realization that we're all going through this human experience together. That's the reason that we have the five senses, so that we can truly experience this physical realm together.
Mm. I love that. It's so beautiful. I bet you. I feel like mushy now. I think everybody that probably dropped it felt mushy. It was first. My first thought was, "Damn, homie's is way longer than mine." comparison.
No.
I wonder if anybody listening was like, is like that at the end of it. I'm like, and I try to get it out. You know, like try to stretch it out a little bit, and then I was like, wait, just breathe more. Jump into it.
I do this every day. I do this every day. So it's like, you know, like you can't compare. It's like, you know, jumping in the ring, like you were saying, like with, you know, like Nick Diaz or like, you know, any of these people, it's like, you're not going to be able to do the same thing as that person because they do this every single day.
This is what you do. This is you're the guy.
Yeah. It's like you jump in the pool with Michael Phelps. You're not going to beat him in the race. You know, it's all good.
No.
You guys can swim together though. You know, that's the beauty of it. And I think that's the magic. Inspiration. We're all here to inspire each other in different ways.
I love it. One of my favorite books is Autobiography of Yogi, and I'm sure that's like one of your jabs, of course, right? And I mean, the first start of the book, I'm like, get to the cool parts, but then the whole thing's the cool part. But I was wanting it to be, I really loved it when he's getting the yogic superpowers, and I fuck with that heavy, where I'm like, yogic superpowers are cool, and I really wanted to get them. Like, that is very cool. And I mean, it's not like, I mean, actually, there had been accounts of people could fly and teleport and all this other stuff. But can you drop it practically first? You can go supernatural. Tell everybody about yogic superpowers, Cindy's. What's the jam? And then practically, how does that apply in your life today?
Yeah. So the Cindy's, these are the yogic superpowers that you acquire through a deep sense of awareness of self. And ultimately, we are all vibration. So if we think of it that way, then there's many different ways that we can transmute this physical realm. Right now, we're only seeing about 3 to 7% of the actual physical matter that is, quote unquote, able to be sensed beyond the senses of just sight. And so if we really think of that, then there's, you know, 97 to 93% of other things out there that we are not able to actually sense just from our eyes. And so essentially these cities are enabling us to tap into a space that is there that perhaps your five senses are not fully attuned to. And so the more attuned that you become through practices of meditation, through practices of breath work, through practices of physical asana, really taking yourselves through these different movements that help to align us to the palpability of that which is matter and help us to be able to shape and form our own matter so that perhaps we can even permeate through matter. So there's many cities of great sages being able to actually stop time. And there's also great sages who could even speed up time. There's even great sages who were able to actually materialize their physical form in different spaces. So there's, you know, great stories of perhaps even people like Jesus walking on water, you know, and people like Buddha being able to heal people, being able to actually do what are called remote surgeries, where someone would go to sleep and, you know, pray and say, oh, you know, I have this ailment here, this tumor, and they would wake up the next day and the tumor would be gone. So many different incredible cities that really come from a deep sense of awareness of that which is this energetic realm, also known as the ethers, or what we would call the quantum realm.
I love it. Super cool. The quantum realm and being able to tap into that through breath work, through yoga, through meditation, these practices is super cool. And I know, like, I first kind of got the vibration element down. It took me plant medicine to see it, to understand. Some of it I couldn't comprehend. Like, okay, I could navigate a bit in mushrooms, DMT, but Bufo, I was like, I have no idea. That's too much for me. I have no idea what all that is. It's like somebody, yeah, I'm like, wow. It's like somebody turned on a radio, you know, those old dial radios, and went the entire gamut of the radio, and it's somewhere in there was music, and you're like, no idea. You know, like I can't.
I don't know what just happened, where I went, or who I am, but I'm back now, and things are different.
exactly that. But I remember this mushroom trip I had on this huge log in the Redwood Forest of California, and everything started vibrating, and this noise started coming in, and the noise came in, and everything I could tell was, oh, everything's vibration. And I was like, okay, I can understand that's what this is now. And then I realized through the practice, then you can kind of start to navigate it. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's cool. That's one applicable thing I really appreciate about different plant medicines. But then you got to be able to do the work and navigate. And so that's why I'm like, okay, that's where the practice comes in. Raise your vibration and you can start manipulating energy around you or the universe. And you know, and then manifest.
And it's not even manipulation. It's more so tuning in, because you have to think that you are a radio receiver. So your whole entire vessel is literally just a expression of light. You're tuning into a signal that is Aaron. And Aaron is the collective DNA of his parents and also the genetic makeup of what you have chosen in this lifetime over the past, you know, 30, however many years that you've been alive in this form. So ultimately, now you have the opportunity to tune your receiver to be able to actually project out that which is the signal of Aaron that wants to be realized within this physical realm. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, that's so woo-woo, but it's like, no, it's pretty simple. It's like, you know, if you work out a muscle, that muscle is going to increase in size, right? Same thing with your brain. If you work out the brain to be able to tune into those subtle realms through meditation, through breath work, through even open-eyed meditation and a lot of different ways of actually tuning into quote-unquote plant medicines. But all of these plants have been here since the beginning of time, even before humans. So they're tuned into the resonance of the earth even before humans were here. So then when we have the opportunity to ingest them, we're literally taking on the wisdom of those plants. That's what they're doing, is they're helping us to see realms that perhaps we may not be aware of that exist far beyond time and space, and even beyond plants, mushrooms. Mushrooms were here before plants. The fungi kingdom, we don't even know where they came from, probably from somewhere out of space, but they're helping us to tune into a whole different resonance of vibration that allows us to be able to feel the resonance of the earth and perhaps even the resonance of the cosmos. And so there's many different ways that we can tune into these other channels or these other frequencies that allow us to be able to take back insights that then we can incorporate into our own body, into our own experience, into our own mind, and then be able to move through this physical realm with more ease, with more beauty, with more brilliance.
I love it. Yeah, that's beautiful. Super powerful to see that and the vibration element. And you're someone that I would totally call dialed in, tuned in. Like, oh, he's just tuned to a different frequency because you're so like just love and light whenever I'm around you. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the homie. What? How has those Siddhis now manifested in your life? Like, what have you been able to see that, okay, you can, because you literally, I was like, what do you do tomorrow? You know, you're like, oh, I'm going to go on a yacht and do, you know, do, like cool stuff, right? Like cool stuff happens. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like that's been the case for me is like cool stuff happens because I tuned my energy. And that's what I do for my coaching clients a lot is like, just do these things, tune your energy, watch what happens. When did you start seeing the power of yoga and yogic power start playing off in your life?
I would say from the first class that I went to, I really saw a huge difference in the ability that I had to be able to calm myself with my breath. And I feel that that's really where the magic starts to happen is when you can tune into that still point. The still point is the point of unbound possibilities. And we really don't even know the full power of our minds. There's so many people that have literally created incredible inventions that have, you know, tapped into whole entire different realms that have been able to channel, you know, voices from other spaces. And it's all through this beautiful brain that we have up here. And they say that we only use about, you know, anywhere between 3 to 10% of it. And so it's like, there's a whole lot of other spaces that we haven't really tapped into. And I think that the more that I practiced yoga, the more that I began to open up into my mind-body connection. And I mean, maybe I'm using 20% of my brain nowadays, but I'm not completely sure. But I would say that the real beauty of this practice is that every single day that you step on your mat, every single day that you take the time to sit down and meditate, you're literally just polishing that crystal that is this vessel. You're polishing the glass so that the light can actually shine through more clearly. Mm. And so I feel that each and every one of us has a light to shine. We're all multitudes of different spectrums of light. And that's the beauty of this, you know, 64 codon DNA that you have that's literally encoded into each and every cell of your being, is that you're just shining the light into the world of your reality. And so as you become more clear by polishing your vessel, whether it's, you know, healthy eating, whether it's, you know, meditation, working out, pushing your body to the limit, pushing your mind to the limit, really finding those edges of your being, that's giving you now the deeper opportunity to be able to experience that which is your reality in a way that is in more alignment with that signal that you're sending out and that signal that you're receiving. So then you can create your reality, you know, like you're the creator of your reality. So like, you know, when I was in LA a few weeks back, I was like, you know, like I literally from the time that I landed, my good friend, the Naven twins, there's two twins, really sweet girls that are DJs. They just hit me up and they're like, hey Andrew, like we haven't heard from you in a while. And I was like, hey, what's happening? I literally just landed back in LA. And she's like, oh, you know, you got to come to our DJ set. We're DJing tonight. And literally from the time that I land, I'm already like having a great time with my friends, reconnected with people that I love. And it's just like things like that, you know? And then, you know, like the, like few days later, like I've been teaching Diplo yoga for quite some time.
And he just messaged me.
Yeah. He's like, I'm back in LA, man. Are you around? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm literally like, I leave the next day after. And so I got to teach him the day before I left LA. And it's just like that's life. Like life is beautiful when you choose to really tap into the beauty of this field. And when you tune into yourself, you realize that you align with exactly the right people at exactly the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also being able to trust in the beauty of this universe.
Yeah.
Because everything that is happening is not happening to you, it's happening for you. Mm. And ultimately, if you begin to truly realize that, then you realize that, you know, when someone decides that, oh, you know, this meeting is actually canceled, that door closes. But you know what? That opens up a whole entire new opportunity. that opens up a whole entire new possibility of what can happen for that next hour of window that, you know, you were supposed to be meeting, supposed to be. I could have, I would have, I should have. Let that shit go. It's not meant to be, you know? And so, like, it's when one door closes, a new opportunity of unbound possibilities opens. And I think that that's what we really got to realize, is that every single moment of life is giving us the opportunity for us to show up in that sense of positivity. And when we have that sense of positivity, then the universe is literally only going to give us what we're giving it. It's the complete and utter way that law works. As you give, so shall you receive. Every single energy, right? Every single movement, every single complete and utter action, it gets a equal and opposite reaction. So we have to think about how we are acting on a day-to-day basis, because this is just a beautiful stage that we have the opportunity to act on. And so you really got to act with a sense of intention from your heart, from that positive start, that allows you to be able to manifest your life, which is your art.
Love it. Oh, it's so good. I love that, because I've been seeing, when I started practicing, I really saw the difference in my life of just how happy I was, how clear I was, and then cool shit would happen consistently. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great. If I just do nice things for other people and work on myself, my world changes massively, massively, massive shift. And I love that. Teaching Diplo yoga is super cool. That's really cool. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's so cool.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, and he's got a great practice too. He's like, he's very disciplined. He's always getting his workout in, and he's very attuned to how important it is to keep his body up to speed with his crazy life of traveling all around the world and, you know, throwing down incredible beats.
I love that. And, you know, to bring it to the discipline function, because, you know, people can often see like, oh, these yogis, hippies, blah, blah, blah. But yoga is a discipline. Like, it's not easy. Like, you're putting yourself in uncomfortable positions and then being able to breathe through it and be chill, which is the practice, which is the root of so many practices, observe and not react. How has yoga helped you deal with difficult situations?
Yeah, like you said, to observe and not react. I would say one of the most difficult situations that I've had in my life thus far has been, I was in a really bad car accident, and I happened to literally, I'll just tell you the story. I was 25 years old, and I had been driving all the way from Laguna Beach, which is in Southern California, all the way to Granada Hills, which is like in the valley of California, in the San Fernando Valley, which is like a solid, you know, 3.5 hour drive. And I was driving all that distance to be able to teach yoga, because at the time I was, you know, just a beginning yoga teacher. I had a job over at a place called You and the Mat, which was in Laguna. And then I had another job over at Black Dog Yoga, which was over in Toluca Lake area. And I was driving a 1957 Volkswagen that I had fixed up with my stepdad, because he loves Volkswagens. And that was my first car. Cool. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of money. My family isn't like super rich or anything. Like, I came from a nice little humble background from Barbados. I'm, you know, first generation, just making things happen here in back in the day in California. And so I literally was driving back and forth just to make enough money to be able to pay for gas and to build my yoga career and to have the opportunity to teach people this wonderful practice that had profoundly changed my life. And a day before, I had gotten oil change, and I had also gotten the brake pads changed on the Bug. And the person who did the brake pad change didn't put one of the pins back into the wheel. And these are old school cars. So literally all it is a pin that keeps the wheel on the axle. And yeah, I'm driving like 75 miles per hour on the 405. It's like, you know, around 6 p.m., pretty heavy traffic. And literally my wheel falls off. my left rear wheel falls off of the vehicle. And like all I hear is shh, and I'm looking in the rear view mirror and I just see sparks. And as soon as I see that, I'm literally smashing into the guardrail on the left side, spun like three 360s all the way to the other side of the freeway. Luckily, didn't hit any traffic. Had like three other cars like hit like debris that came off of my car from the first hit. And like, you know, like one car had like a pop wheel and like, bam, smash into the other guardrail all the way across the other side of the freeway. Luckily didn't hit anyone like head on. And I'm just like sitting there like, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. Like what the heck is my, am I okay? Am I alive? And I'm looking around and I start to smell smoke. And I look in the back because the engine of the car is in the back and it starts to catch on fire. And I'm literally just like, oh shit, I got to get out of here. And I literally, first thing that I think to myself is I have my backpack and my backpack has my computer. And I've been interviewing all these incredible yogis from all around the world because I had I had this idea of creating a podcast at the time, which was called the Yoga Revealed Podcast. And I like, you know, had interviewed Sean Korn and all these people. And I was like, I got to get these interviews. So literally I grabbed the backpack and I'm like trying to get out of the door. The door is completely jammed. And then I see the window's already broken. So I just literally crawled through the window. I get out of the car. And the first thing that I think is like, I'm going to call my mom. And I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, I'm alive. I'm like, Mom, I'm alive.
She's like, great.
What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, I'm on the 405 freeway and the car, it's on fire. And she's like, what are you talking about? Where are you right now? I'm like, I'm on the 405 freeway, but I'm alive. It's okay. I crashed the car and the wheel fell off. but like, just like I took some deep breaths and like, after I took those deep breaths, I realized that everything was going to be okay because I was okay. I was still alive. And I feel that oftentimes we forget how important our breath is to bring us back to the awareness of this life. And the fact of the matter is that we're all alive, and that in itself is a gift. Having the breath of life fill your lungs when you wake up in the morning is a gift. There are people that literally did not wake up this morning. They did not move into this day with life. So give thanks, be grateful, because ultimately your life is directed by your breath. And when you take the time to take a deep breath, you know what you're doing? You're appreciating life. And that's what we need to do more often, is take the time to appreciate life.
Whoa, cool story. That's amazing. What did you say to your mechanic after? Like, dude.
I didn't say anything. My stepdad took care of that one. They had a full-on lawsuit from the insurance company and everything, because it was just,
Wow.
These guys were definitely not taking the breaths that they needed to be taking.
They were not having mindful awareness.
They were not mindful at all.
Oh, man. Actually, that reminded me. When I was prepping for this interview, I was like, dude, I want you to teach me and everyone else, you know, about mindful awareness and how to drop into that, how to bring mindful awareness as a superpower into your life and everything you do. Like, what's your practice in dropping into that space, and what does it do for you?
Yeah, I would have to say that it really starts with being able to become the observer of your breath, become the observer of your mind, and become the observer of your body. And a lot of us, like, you know, we go about our day thinking, oh, I'm the doer. I'm me. And it's like, no, like, take a step back and like witness yourself going through the day. Like if you're walking to your office and, you know, someone bumps your shoulder and like immediately, you spill your coffee or whatever it is. It's like, take a second, observe the situation, take a deep breath, and be mindful. You don't know what that person's been through. Maybe they're blind. Maybe they, you know, were on the phone and distracted by, you know, a call that their grandfather just passed away or whatever it is. It's like, take the time to realize that life is not happening to you, it's happening for you. So that's an opportunity to take a deep breath. Be mindfully aware of the circumstance and to take your time to move on with even more presence than you had before. Because ultimately, every single situation that we come into, whether it's, you know, a person bumping into us at work, or, you know, someone cutting us off on the freeway, or, you know, it could even be that you wake up and you jump out of bed and you're running to the shower and bam, you stub your toe. It's like, take a second, take a mindful breath, and come back to becoming the observer. Because when you become the observer, you observe that, hey, maybe I was rushing. I don't really need to rush. I realize that when I rush, I could hurt myself. I literally just stubbed my toe. Like, this is not serving me.
This stubbing toe is not serving me at all.
It's not serving me, you know?
It's funny.
It's really important, because like even like the impulses that we have, a lot of things that we get into doing without thinking about these things, they're happening subconsciously, meaning that we are being directed by a narrative that is on autopilot, right? And if that narrative that's on autopilot is not being checked by the mindful awareness of our present mind, then we tend to get into a habitual state of being that is no longer being, it's just doing. And we don't even know why we're doing, right? Oh yeah, I woke up and I drank coffee. Did you need to drink coffee? Did you feel like, you know, you needed an extra boost of adrenaline or of serotonin or of dopamine that perhaps could have been received from something other than coffee? You know, like there's so many different things that we do on a daily basis without mindfully becoming aware of why we are doing these things. And so when you take a deep breath, become the observer, ask yourself why, and then move on from there. And it makes a huge difference. I feel that this mindful awareness of just taking a deep breath will literally help you in the trajectory of not just your life, but also your relationships and how you operate on a day-to-day basis and the beauty of this reality. Because then you're actually taking your hands back on the wheel. You're not letting it be on autopilot.
I love that. It gives you so much more agency and power in what you do. And I talked about this literally yesterday with one of my clients. They want to learn meditation, breath work, and they're very successful, like actually bespoke tailor. He does tailoring to the next level. Shout out to Jason Sarai. He's actually like family to me and his family. And I like to break it down in what people actually do. Like his thing is he was in finance before, and now he's going into he's a very, very high end tailor, and tailoring is his meditation. I'm like, dude, that make this your meditation. When you're doing your craft, you're doing your thing, make it your meditation. So yeah, you're doing what you got to do. You're fitting people out. You're finding them styles. You're doing that, but make that a meditation. And that was like, oh, light bulb for him. Cool. That makes my work so much deeper. And I'm like, the way I think of my life is it's a video game, you know, like Grand Theft Auto type of thing, you know, and I'm just running around doing what I got to do. But if I take my step out and I'm like, you're playing the game though, like you're controlling the controls. Mm-hmm. So you have to train your body. You have to, you know, build business. You have to, but be mindful that you're playing the game, and that takes you out of the doing and just like aimless running around. It's, no, I'm controlling this vessel through an observer, and take the breaths will then take you out of that, you know, just running around doing stuff, of just being mindful of that you're doing it. You're being mindful that you're having a podcast today. You're mindful that you're setting everything up. So play the video game of life. And I like that one. Like that one makes sense for me because I played video games growing up, you know?
Yeah. And most important, when you're playing the game, have fun.
Yes.
Like, don't forget to have fun. Like seriously, yeah. Like, tap into one thing every single day that brings you a sense of complete happiness and joy, that brings you back to like being like a little kid where you're like discovering something new, you're curious about it, you're having a good time. Like, it's so important to do these things because we forget what it feels like to be happy for no reason. It's like, let's come back to that. Let's come back to like just the joyousness of your laugh. Like, just like being able to like jump in the water and just like flop into the water and just be like, oh my goodness. Like, wow. Like, life is good. Like, these things are so important because they help us to come back to the sense and inherent joy that we are born with. It's our birthright to be happy. That's the whole premise of yoga, is to bring you back to your ananda, bring you back to your bliss, bring you back to that sense of, wow, joy. Mm. Life is beautiful if you choose to observe it as so.
I love this. I love this. It's so true because we can get so complicated, you know, trying to do the life thing. And it's like, no, I need a nicer car. No, I need this thing. No, I need this. I need more followers. I need all this, you know, stuff. And then when you just go and look at a tree, or you're like, you know, this breath, or, you know, the sun, or just like really simple things, like the way my shirt feels on my back. I have a back. Yay, I have a back. Just, you know, simple. And that, make that thing cool. Well, the joy is in the mundane. And that's where, if we can appreciate the mundane, then all this fancy shit has less power over us and to sway our emotions. And I had to learn that the hard way because fancy shit ruled my life, you know? But now we still have fancy shit. But I was telling you, I'm like, I'm going to go see Lucas and Hella in a couple weeks. I'm like, I rented a Bentley on Turo because it was cheap and I've always wanted to drive a Bentley. Cool. But like my, you know, like my relationship to cool shit changed. Like, how is that for you? Because you like cool shit. You like fancy shit too. Abundance. We were talking about it before this call. Like, walk me through a yogi that loves abundance. What's that about?
I really feel that, you know, life is a playground if you choose to play. And ultimately, it's like my happiness is really in places. Like, I love to go to gorgeous places. Like, I was just, you know, in Los Angeles, and before that I was in Aspen, and I'm not really like a big car person. I don't even own a car. I do own a car. I own a Jeep with a huge freaking, what is this called? A tent on the roof. Cool. And I have a farm vehicle for my cow farm. I make chocolate here in Costa Rica. And I'll tell you more in a second. Okay. Yes, I have a chocolate farm now, a 67 acre chocolate farm.
Fuck yeah.
But these are things that I'm happy about. Like, I would say, like, you know, also, like, I love crystals. This is a pyridine crystal. This amplifies your heartfelt intention. It's literally made with pyramid technology and Lumerian codes that were downloaded from a aerospace engineer named Dr. Fred Bell. So, like, he's like the great grandson of Alexander Graham Bell, the guy who created the telephone. Like, whoa. That's what I'm excited about. Like, you know, like, my mala I got from Nepal, from Lama Dorji. It was blessed by the Dalai Lama. And like, these are things that I enjoy, you know, like, I'm like, I enjoy things that have like a resonance to them, like a story, a background, a sense of, you know, artistry. Someone took the time to create it with a sense of love. So it's like, those are the things that I'm stoked on. Like, you know, like, I'm sure obviously like a Bentley also like took some time to make, and someone took the time to, you know, put the beautiful pinstripe on it and make the wood interior. So I feel like, you know, when we have that sense of human connection, that sense of real artistry, or even if it's natural connection, like, you know, when you see a crystal and you're looking at it and literally like a light comes through and bam, you can see a rainbow, like, that kind of stuff is what lights me up.
That's cosmic the stuff artistry
that I'm excited about. Exactly.
I love that. You know, and I think that's just in a sense of gratitude and appreciation. So it changes what it is for you. Like, you know, you appreciate the story behind it. You appreciate everything about it. And, you know, it makes food taste better. You know, I've eaten with you before. We blessed our food together and it makes food taste better. You drop into the moment. And Lucas said this on the podcast I had with him, was like, the air of celebration brings on more abundance. And I'm like, yeah, good one. I need to celebrate more. Celebration is gratitude. you know, and not celebrate like, let's go get lit. That was the celebration back in the day. Like, we need to celebrate. Let's get hammered. And that so shifted for me where I'm like, we need to celebrate. Let's get more present.
Let's get elevated. Let's elevate our energy. You know, let's take this to a heightened level of sensitivity so that you can appreciate even more. Like, I'm like, you know, like nowadays, like I told you, like I'm going on a yacht tomorrow, but I'm still doing my 8 a.m. yoga with my client, and we're still going to go out and experience the beauty of snorkeling and checking out some turtles. And like, it's like, great, it's a yacht, but it's like also great, we're going to go experience nature and tune into ourselves so that we can actually appreciate nature even more. We're not going out there to go, you know, drink ourselves silly and dumb and drunk until we can't, you know, see straight. It's like, no, like we're going to heighten our energy to elevate our sense of awareness. And I think that is really what's important about life, is to elevate your sense of awareness so that you can appreciate these moments of celebration, so that you can appreciate these moments of gratitude even more, because you realize that there was a time when you were in the depths, where you were in the dark, where you were, you know, not able to have this sense of freedom. And now that you do have this sense of freedom, how are you going to actually utilize this space to actually elevate yourself so that perhaps you can inspire someone else to do the same?
I love this. That's super beautiful. And I feel like the intention shifts as well, because what would have been like the yacht party for me back in the day would have been like, how close can I make this to the Jay-Z Big Pimpin' music video? How close? That's a tune. I love that song.
Oh my goodness. That was a good time. That was right? a good time.
Jay-Z. Like how close? Yeah. Jay-Z. Big Pimpin', spending cheese. And so,
but that's celebration. Celebration, you know? Everyone celebrates different. And I feel that everyone is celebrating at their own level of consciousness.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm sure that he celebrates differently now.
That's exactly where I was going to bring that point to. Is like, but I bet you now things are different. And celebrating just being present with people you love, it's lasting. Mm-hmm. And I find that's a bit more valuable for me now, because also I don't want to have a hangover. I got too much on my plate. That's awesome that I love doing. So these things are, I want to be sharp for these things. I want to be good for these things. Mm-hmm. So my priorities shifted now. And I feel like that's a better place. And I feel like yoga helped me organize my priorities well. It's a tool, and it's a technology. And when you think about things that way, you're downloading more codes, you're downloading new ways of being, and this is new software now. And I needed a software update because, you know, I was just so douchey.
So that was I say that yoga, right? The asana practice is upgrading your hardware, right? Because it's upgrading your body. So it becomes more sensitive. And then the meditation is the upgrade to your software. It's literally giving you a whole new operating system so that you can operate at a higher sense of awareness so that you can actually take your hardware to the next level too. And that's why they go hand in hand. You can't just do the physical practice without doing the meditation. They go hand in hand. You know, if your hardware is all upgraded, but you're operating at a freaking, you know, OS whatever 3.2, it's like, oh, you know, shit's probably gonna break down pretty soon.
Mental breakdowns. I think that's super important to have those both coming in, the mind, body, soul. You gotta nourish all of them every day, and that makes me happier. And then, like what you're saying, you're tuning your frequency to a higher level, then you're magnetizing the same energy coming in, so then cool shit happens. So then Diplo's like, teach me yoga. That's cool. Like, I love this stuff. Yeah, and then your friends are like, do you want to come for free to go see a Jake Paul Nate Diaz fight? You're like, yeah. Like, that's cool.
Let's go.
Like, that sounds awesome. And I've never been to anything like that. You know, businesses fall in your lap or things like this. So I feel like those are like yogic superpowers. Like, I feel like those are siddhis, that you are just inherently a more positive person. Your mind is controlled in a way that you get to govern, you know, your frequency. You get to tune your own frequency. And I think that's a beautiful thing to see. What's your mornings looking like? You know, you're getting up. How are you tuning your frequencies to be ready for the day?
Yeah, first thing I do when I wake up is usually 90% of the time, I will take a poo. you got to get rid of it, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of it. I feel like it's very important because...
Gotta let the shit go.
Essentially, yeah. Number one, you got to let the shit go. You got to mm-hmm. let the shit from yesterday go so that you can step into your day anew, fresh. And once I'm done with that, I'll make some tea and I'll drink a little bit of tea while I'm meditating. And I feel like that, like, sense of hydration to the brain and also like tuning in. I do herbal tea every single morning, usually like some ginkgo biloba, you know, a little bit of rosemary, maybe some Damiana. I love tea. And I just sit, you know, and I sit and I allow my mind to get to a point where it's quiet. And then once my mind is nice and quiet, I do my singing bowl, do a little sound vibration, oming, take some deep breaths. And then after that, I'm ready to write in my journal. I'll write the things that I'm grateful for first, and then also the things that I'm looking forward to moving into for the day. So, you know, if it's that I got a couple of, you know, meetings, I'm excited about this meeting with Aaron. It's going to be epic, super stoked to recalibrate with him, to tune in, to have a great conversation, and super stoked for all the beautiful people who are going to have the opportunity of seeing this conversation. And then I kind of just map out my day. If there's anything in particular that is, you know, a priority, I write it down. And my goal is to visualize and to write down how I intend the day to go. Because they literally have proven from taking the time to write down not only your intentions, but also your goals and how you imagine things going, it's already planting a seed for them growing into your reality. And then you just go about your day. The beauty of life is non-attachment. So, you know, I close the book, the journal's closed, and I go about, usually in the morning, I'll have either meetings or I'll have private clients that I'm teaching. Right now I'm teaching a private retreat, so I'm teaching every single morning at 8 a.m. And then from there, you know, I go about having things like this, interviews, podcasts. I'm also filming 100 Days of Yoga, which is a new program that I'm doing with my wonderful coalition of yogis over at Yoga Revealed. I'm relaunching my podcast to be able to provide all the wonderful yogis who've been following me for so long an opportunity to tap into 100 Days of Yoga, because that's how my yoga practice actually started, was with 100 Days of Bikram Yoga. But this is going to be 100 days of not just asana, but also meditation and more information about japa mala and about, you know, mantra and about pranayama and all the other aspects of yoga that perhaps are sometimes forgotten. And sometimes people don't have the opportunity of tuning into or don't have a viable teacher to be able to give them the information on. So... yeah, that's kind of like my day. I usually eat my first meal around, anywhere between like 11 and 2, just depending upon how much workout I do in the morning. You know, if I'm teaching a lot of sessions, then obviously my body's more, ready to consume. But usually I'll do like a smoothie around 10 or 11, and then I'll eat a super nice big lunch around 2 o'clock, all plant-based, like a nice big salad. And I love mushrooms, so like some oyster mushroom sautéed with some Cajun sauce, mm-hmm. and throw that over some rice and beans with some coconut milk, and you know, throw a little guacamole on the side with a nice little arugula salad, you know, put some sun-dried tomatoes in it, and call it a day. And,
thanks for making everyone hungry.
I love to eat. I love to eat. I feel like, you know, eating is one of the best ways to not only nourish your body, but also to reconnect to giving yourself the opportunity to have some space and time to yourself. I like to eat with people, but I also do love to eat alone, because I'm a really slow eater. I'm like, you know, one of those people, I'm like, oh, you know, I'd sit there and smell the food and I'm just like, oh, like, I love to eat. Eating is a precious meditation for me.
I love that. I think it's super important to have mindful awareness in your eating. I've had some of the best meals I've ever had in meditation retreats, and they were really simple meals. Like this one cantaloupe I had in New Zealand, and I was at the New Zealand Vipassana Center is dope, by the way. Anybody who wants to do Vipassana, I think that's my favorite center. There is meditation. Dave showed me that one. That one's sick. But their fruits that they have in New Zealand are super high quality. They got great soil, great air, great water. Like that's a powerful land they got right there. Mm-hmm. And I ate this cantaloupe, and I just remember eating it, and I was just like, like this cantaloupe, like it was like day four or something, day five, you're in it, you're just super in it. And it was like the best cantaloupe I've ever had in my life, the best bite of a cantaloupe ever had in my life. And I just looked at it and was like,
goodness.
Hell yeah. And then I looked at the guy across from me, you're all silent, and I looked at the guy across from me, and he had the same moment. He ate the cantaloupe, and we looked at each other, we're like, like this cantaloupe though. Mindful awareness.
Shared experiences of joy. Shared experiences of joy are very important.
I
was going to actually lead into, like, you know, the later part of my day is usually like experiencing that, like, you know, maybe I'm teaching some macro yoga, or maybe, you know, I'll have the opportunity of going on an adventure or a hike with some friends. Like, I love, you know, just time with friends. Like, you know, when we met up on Abbot Kinney and we just had some time to just hang out and vibe and, you know, catch up. And I feel like those times, good conversations with great reflections are the key.
Dude, that was such a funny time because me and Lucas were just, you know, kicking it, walking around, filming, shooting, and you're just in the area. We randomly, like, I get a chance to see you. Like, great. We live on the opposite side of the world. Like, awesome. So random. Yep. And you're like, well, I'm going to go hang out with some cool friends and do some mushrooms. Do you want to come? And I was so like, yes, I want to come. But I had to fly out. Like, I didn't have time. Me and Lucas, we had plans. It's like my last day. Like, we were, like, doing a thing. So it was so, like, oh, I really want to come do that. That would have been so fun.
Yeah,
so,
going through TSA on mushrooms is not the business. I will let
airports and mushrooms don't work. I try to be mindful of that experience. I want to be in nature. You have an app coming out soon. I'm really excited to dive into that, right? Can you tell everybody about it so they can drop into that frequency that you
So I'm super stoked about Certified. So I have a 200-hour yoga teacher training on Certified that is currently available. You can go and get your 200-hour from anywhere in the world, right from your iPhone, and it's certified with a Y because obviously yoga. Mm-hmm. And also it asks you the question, like, why we do the things that we do. And so Certified is my heart right now. I'm super stoked to have the opportunity to present not only incredible trainings for myself, but also for my friends, people who I'm super stoked on and sharing meditation and breath work. And you can literally create your own certifications directly through the app. And we're looking for other incredible creators who are on the precipice of bringing forth their best work. And maybe, Aaron, you want to do one on tattooing, or maybe you want to do one on mindful meditation, or, you know, like, we're totally happy to put a certification of your own on there. And it's for people, especially from the holistic health and well-being arena and background, who, you know, there's a lot of spaces that there's nowhere to be able to teach people about, you know, tarot reading. There's nowhere to be able to teach people about, you know, Reiki and sound healing. And so just having the opportunity to be able to present these incredible knowledge cultivators and wisdom keepers on a platform where they can actually give certifications to their followings, to their sangha, to their tribe. So that's what I'm stoked on right now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I would love to teach something cool on there. Maybe I'll flesh out a bit more of the video game mindfulness aspect of being the in the controller, and then teach a short thing on that, because that's something I'm really wanting to develop into, having ways of thinking. So, like, these are just mental constructs that we can then, okay, apply this way of thinking in this situation, and it'll detach you from your emotional, like, turmoil, and you're like, oh, agency, I can do what I want to do now in a heightened way,
like,
right?
the mindful game of life.
Yeah, I love that. I had to do this yesterday. The short side story is I had to let somebody go. They were at my shop, and it was really unfortunate because they were one of our day ones. But they were stealing, man. They were punching in the POS system and giving themselves big tips, and it probably happened a few times. So it's not even like a crazy amount of money. That's what sucks. But I was like, you gotta let somebody go. And my heart was beating when I had to do this, because I was like, oh man, like, I got it. Because no one else, like I told the shop manager, I'm like, you have full permission for me to let that person go. If you caught them on the spot, you can terminate them. We're within our rights to do it. And she was like, no, I'm chicken. I don't want to do it. I'm like, I'll do it. You got it. No problem. That's a me thing. So before I was having to do the thing, I was going from a meeting of like building a funnel for a group coaching program. So it was really like techie. And I'm like, I'm not the tech guy, bro. I'm Indian. I'm not tech support, but I had to, do that thing. Right. And then I knew I had to then quickly let somebody go. And then I had to hold space for a client that I'm helping build out a mindfulness, helping him be more mindful to build his business and scale it. He's doing great. And so I was like, this is an intense day. You know, that's a lot in succession. Mm-hmm. And I could feel my body. And I was like, my heart was beating, you know, I could feel, there was a lot of emotion, you know, I felt betrayed, you know, someone steals from you. It makes me angry. And like East Van Hood Aaron was going to come out first and be like, you know, and I was like, wait, and that's where
take
I had to
a
be
deep
like,
breath. Take yes. a deep breath.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I had to like, okay, what do you do? Well, you got technology, you got codes in your video game. And that was like, find your breath. Okay. Regulate your nervous system. Okay, your heart's beating. Notice your heart beating. That's okay. Be in your body. Be in your body. Be in your body. Okay, now handle this with your heart rather than your aggression. And I just was like, these are the facts. It breaks my heart to see that because, you know, I trusted you. I got vulnerable, you know, and then, hey, this is just what we got to do. And she was just like, okay, you know, like there's no fight about it. Okay. You know, and it was just like the better way to do it. Whereas before it would have been like, you bitch. Like, no, I'd never be like that. But you know, it's like really the yoga practice, the mindfulness practice comes in so many ways. Just like when you know, your wheel falls off your car, just like when you know, you get hit by a truck, in my case, or, you know, all these crazy things, the practice of mindful awareness is a superpower and sharing it is being a superhero, and that's what you are, my friend. And I just appreciate you so much for coming in. And I know your schedule is busy doing amazing things, but also serving. And it's so beautiful. And I really appreciate you coming through. And everybody listening, please share this episode. Andrew is a busy dude, so him taking time to come do this for free, you know, me putting this on just so you can have some more mindful juiciness in your life, please give it a share, tag Andrew, let people know what he's up to. Don't go do his 200 hour certification. That's amazing that you can do it anywhere, or go visit him at a retreat, which will be life-changing. He's a life-changing human, so just be in his field and tune into that frequency. That is Mr. Andrew Seeley. Thank you, my
many
friend.
Blessings, Aaron. So grateful for you and so grateful for the Ink Pray Love community. And just wanted you all to know that you're all your own super powered superhumans, superheroes in your own incredible reality. So choose to make this reality the most incredible reality that you can possibly make it. And most importantly, realize that you don't have to fake it. All it takes is the truth of tuning in with yourself and polishing that beautiful diamond, that beautiful emerald, that beautiful rose quartz that you are, and realize that inevitably you are made with the same exact molecules as all the most brilliant stars. So blessings to you on your path.
Love Namaste. It. Namaste, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ink Pray Love podcast. I hope you found it inspiring, entertaining, funny, and also feeling a little bit more present and connected to yourself. Please leave a review and like and subscribe and do all those things. I'd really appreciate that. As well as if you're feeling in a giving mood, this podcast is there for the charities that I love to support. Go to www.aaronbaya.com/charity and get some of those good karma points. This podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Studios in Bali, as well as Full Reset Coaching. That is my coaching practice. And if you're looking for help in business, inner game impact, and building your legacy to be something you're proud of, your brand, your business, and how you walk the earth and who you impact, and also having the mindset and the heart set to be able to be happy handling it all, I'm here for you. Just DM me. Let's go. Peace out, homies. I'll see you on the next episode.